seagulls hover over rolling waves. Diane Wiest. Gina McKee. White surf crashes against rocks. Keith McCurlin. Sam Robards. Brian F. O'Byrne. And Angela Lansbury as Dora. A calm sea under a mottled sky. A beam of light revolves on a boat in the distance. A lighthouse sits atop a spit of land. A small dark-haired boy in swimming trunks laughs as he runs down to the waves to pick up a beach ball. He throws it to a girl in a blue swimsuit. They're in a deserted sandy cove. A couple in their 40s in light summer clothes is nearby. The man is lying on the sand wearing a straw hat. His head rests on the knee of the woman behind him as he fiddles with a Polaroid camera. In a lilac straw hat and patterned blouse, she sets out plates on a blanket.
Kelly, Declan, come on!
The children run up and sit on the blanket. Their mother hands Helly a drink, and Declan reaches for an apple and bites into it. Declan looks out to sea and points.
Lightship, isn't it, Dad? Didn't ask you, bossy boots.
Hey. The sea out there, it's all dangerous sandbanks. There's no rocks to build a lighthouse. So, they use a ship instead.
How long has it been there?
A lot longer than me, anyway. Hey, Declan, stop stuffing yourself. Come on.
It's time for a photograph.
Dad sits up and Helly puts an arm around Declan, their heads close together as they beam at the camera. The camera spits out a photo, white framing a square of grey. After a moment, the image of the children gradually emerges. Helly is about 10 with shoulder-length straight dark hair and fringe. She beams at the camera with a wide, toothy grin. Declan, a couple of years younger, seems more circumspect. His pursed mouth forms a tight smile and his eyes are narrowed. His short hair is lighter than his sister's, with a tuft sticking up at the crown. Teleplay by Shane Connerton. Based on the novel by Colm Tobin. Directed by John Ehrman. A woman's asleep in bed. It's Helen.
Come on, wake up! Get up! Come on! Get up! Go away!
No!
Wake up! Get up! Just get up! Come on! Get up! Let's go!
Helen. I was going to do breakfast.
That's all right. It's all finished. You can concentrate on packing.
Gonna miss you, missus.
Well, if it wasn't for these school interviews, I'd be there like a shot.
Are we thinking of all the things I want to say to you? Mm. You won't be there to hear them.
You're to go up to Ballyshannon. You're not to drive into the north.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you forgotten anything?
I don't think so. Oh, dear. I'll give you a call when I get there.
She hands him a mobile phone and he drives out of the gravel driveway in front of a modern house. Two little boys are in the back seat of the estate car. On a quiet suburban street, Helen waves the car off. Now in a smart dark blue suit with a briefcase, 30-something Helen crosses an expansive lawn in front of a grand neo-Gothic mansion. Young girls in green sweaters and mid-calf-length skirts are practicing hockey on the grass. She walks down a corridor with a 40-ish woman with red hair.
John Oakley phoned to remind you of the meeting with the Minister of Education. And of course, you've got the interviews this week.
Right. Thank you, Anne.
Anne walks on as Helen enters an office. She's at her desk when a man comes in.
Are you Helen?
Yes. Yes, I am.
My name is Paul. I'm a friend of your brother's.
Oh. You're an American?
Yes.
Have a seat. Are you here for the teaching job?
No, I have a job, thanks. Listen, Declan's in the hospital. He asked me to come out here and tell you.
Has he had an accident?
It wasn't an accident, but he'd like to see you. Can you come now? He's over at St. Aidan's. I can drive you.
Yes, right. I've a meeting at the Department of Education on Marlborough Street at 4.
You'll be back by 4.
He looks impatient as she gives him a wary, anxious glance. They're driving down a busy city street.
You'd better tell me what's wrong.
Declan has AIDS. He wanted me to tell you first.
He stares ahead impassively. Helen's about to speak, then looks out of the window.
You want me to pull over?
No. Go on. How long has he been?
2 years. He's very weak.
Is he dying, then?
It'll be harder this time.
Paul, in his 40s, has a strong face and neat brown hair. He wears a loose black and grey striped sweater.
Has he been in the hospital long?
On and off. Mostly he goes to the clinic.
He told me he was busy with work.
I think he's been avoiding you.
The creases round her mouth deepen and she shakes her head. She looks pained.
Does Declan have a boyfriend?
No.
Must have been hard looking after him.
It's hard now. But he's a good patient.
Why didn't he tell us?
Because he couldn't face it.
In a hospital corridor...
He's just down here.
He's in there. Paul, I'm sorry. I have to ask you, are we talking about days or weeks or months? What is it? What are we?
I don't know. It's hard to say.
A doctor joins them.
Hey, Louise, this is Declan's sister.
You can't go in for a while. The nurse is with him.
She has to go in an hour.
I'm going to cancel that meeting anyway.
Just hold on, I'll go and check.
Blonde 50-ish Louise goes back in the ward. Paul paces the corridor.
I have a name, you know.
I'm sorry. I should have introduced you properly.
What does Declan want to do about my mother?
He wants you to tell her.
Oh, great. We don't get on.
I know that. He wants you to go down to Wexford and tell her. You can use his cards in the parking lot. I have the keys.
You can come in now.
Paul holds the door open.
Thank you.
Helen and Paul enter a busy ward. She looks apprehensive as she approaches Declan's bed. He's propped up on pillows asleep. Paul puts his bag on a table at the foot of the bed and hunts through it. Helen sits in a chair and leans into Declan.
Declan?
He smiles.
Oh, yeah.
Helen kisses him.
So what do you think of her?
Your sister? She'd make a great reverend mother.
Harry, will you deal with the old lady?
Do you want to see her?
We do, yeah.
When?
As soon as she can. Will you tell Granny?
That won't be a problem. I'll drive out to her.
Declan glances at Paul.
You should meet my Granny. She's the one who put manners on you. She's a real paint remover.
This is a real shock, Declan.
Ellie, I'm sorry about everything.
No.
She strokes his hair gently and his eyes flicker open. Outside.
I have to keep convincing myself that this is really happening. You all seem so matter-of-fact about it, but the truth is that Declan is dying in there. I don't know how I'm going to tell my mother.
No one's being matter-of-fact. It seems to me that they don't really need to keep him in the hospital. Now, he has to have a line put in. That should be done early tomorrow morning, I'd imagine. But after that, if you and your mother wanted to ask Louise, I'm sure she would let you take him for a few days.
Right. The main thing tomorrow, though, is my mother.
No, wait. The main thing is Declan, not your mother. Okay, he gets depressed in that hospital room, so it's not just a small detail. It's a priority.
He hands her a bunch of keys and walks over to his car. Helen looks uncomfortable.
Thanks for the correction.
She approaches Declan's car.
Look, I'm really grateful to you for everything.
Yeah. I'll see you.
He gets in his car and drives off. Helen opens Declan's car and slowly gets in. She checks the keys, throws her briefcase on the passenger seat, then spots something on the floor. It's a wallet of photos. The first is of Declan with three guys smiling in front of the Eiffel Tower. She looks through them, then glances up at the grim Victorian hospital in front of her. She drives out of the car park in her brother's dirty white saloon car. She makes her way down a quiet residential street. Under a cloudless blue sky, she passes light traffic on an open road. She slows down at a roundabout where a road sign pointing right reads Wexford and one to the left reads Blackwater. She looks tense and turns left. Helen's now on a country road with fields and trees on either side. A stretch of water glistens nearby. She drives downhill. Beneath her in the distance, houses appear near a bay. White sand curves around a blue-green sea. She passes two women walking by.
Will you look at that? Isn't that Doris, Helen?
You! Helen! Helen!
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Oh, it has.
It has.
We call him.
Wait.
Don't wait. Helen, drop this down first. Have the bit of luck.
Unaware of the women, Helen drives on, passing by the lighthouse. She slows down and turns into a drive in front of a house right opposite the sea. A curtain at an upper window is drawn back and a grim-faced woman looks out. Helen gets out of the car and looks around, then hesitantly approaches the front door. Inside, a pair of legs in thick stockings and lace-up shoes descend a staircase. The woman crosses the old-fashioned tiled floor of a gloomy hallway. She opens a door, passes through a beaded curtain to a porch, then steps outside. She's in her 70s with bobbed grey hair and wears a dark cardigan over a floral skirt.
Here you are now, Helen.
Granny, I'm sorry for barging in on you like this.
That's a great surprise.
She looks Helen up and down.
Lovely surprise. I've got tea on and I could make you up a fry.
I have very bad news, Granny.
I know, Helen. I knew it the moment I saw you.
A tabby cat in the large kitchen. Helen's at the dining table.
Oh, it was the same years ago. With your father's cancer, and the doctors could do nothing about it. And now here's poor Declan just starting his life.
What will I do about my mother?
You'll go to Wexford in the morning, and you'll break the news to her softly. Let her sleep tonight. This is the last night's sleep she'll have for a long time. I'll make up your bed. The room is hardly ever used. Your mother never stays. Well, she hasn't been down here recently.
Have you fallen out with her?
Not really. She still thinks that she's going to get me to move to Wexford. But I told her. I said I'm not moving anywheres. I've got plenty of money now. I sold the old field that was full of ragwort. Look, I put in new radiators. I put them in all over the house. And I never consulted her. And that's all that's wrong with her. Your mother came down when the work was half done. Oh, she was raging. Hello, sweetheart. Anyway, that was at Easter. And she hasn't been here since the end of May. But she brought me down this. No, I told her I couldn't have a phone in the house, you know. So I keep this in here.
A mobile phone in her pocket.
I never turn it on. I never use it. Have a biscuit.
She holds out a large tin. Having changed out of her suit, Helen descends some steps down to the beach across the road from the house. She wears a thick grey cardigan over a white blouse and jeans. She walks across the sand. Nearby, the lighthouse is silhouetted against the sky. She perches on a rock and gazes over at the lighthouse. A flashback to Helen as a pigtailed young girl in school uniform. She enters a room where her mother, Lily, is helping her father to put his shirt on over a vest. They have their backs to her as she stands in the doorway. Her father turns.
Helly. I have to go away for a little while. To Dublin for some tests.
Tests? I'm going as well. We don't know how long we'll be away.
Who's going to look after us?
You're going to Granny's.
Granny's?
Mm-hmm.
But what about school?
Ah, right. School. Well, you take your school books with you.
But, Ma...
Helen, your father's sick.
I thought you said he was going to Dublin for some tests.
With her hand in her hair, Lily leaves the room.
Now, those eggs are fresh, not like the ones you get in town.
Yuck. Declan doesn't eat eggs.
I never heard anything worse. The things your mother has to put up with. She's too soft.
But he can't eat them. Granny, he'll get sick.
Will you stop with the back answers, Helen?
I'm not giving back answers.
When are Ma and Dad coming back for us?
The government of this country is nothing but a shower of gangsters.
They're not. Dad says it's just propaganda, that old rag.
Propaganda? Where have you learned that word?
Oh, Helen knows all the words. She's as smart as her mother.
Helly bins Declan's egg.
You're going to have to go to school in Blackwater.
Declan mouths where?
We'll do our own lessons here. I can teach Declan till Ma comes for us.
Declan stares across at Helly, his eyes wide with horror.
Ma!
Declan sits up in bed in their moonlit bedroom. Helly puts the light on.
It's all right, Declan. It was only a nightmare.
I'm floating, but everything else is huge. It's okay, Declan. Our dad will soon be here.
Declan looks up at her from his pillow with wide eyes and nods. She covers him, gets off his bed, and is about to switch off the light.
Could you just leave the light on, Helly?
Yeah.
She climbs back into her bed. Helly pulls the covers over herself and lays her head on the pillow. She gazes across at her brother, anxiously. The adult Helen lies awake in the same bed, her hands over her eyes. A thin net curtain hangs over the lower half of the window, letting in bright moonlight. It's pouring outside. She reaches to the bedside cabinet and picks up her watch, considers for a moment, then sits up, pushing off the covers. White clouds hover in a blue sky. Helen's driving Declan's dirty car along a deserted road. Fields and hills stretch out into the distance. She pulls into a car park in front of a modern office building and parks the car. She picks up her bag from the seat next to her, glances around, then climbs out. In a long grey sweater and jeans, she heads for the entrance, passing by a sign that reads Wexel Centre, WCL, Wexford Computers Limited. She enters and approaches a woman at reception.
Mrs. Breen.
Oh, yes. Second floor, conference room, on your right.
Thank you.
In a large darkened hall, Helen's mother Lily is speaking at a lectern. Helen opens the door at the back.
Now, if your company installs a new system, call us, please. There's some so-called experts out there who, if you told them you were having trouble with your mouse, they'd recommend you get a cat.
Her smile fades as she spots Helen. She puts on her glasses and turns to people on the platform.
My staff are the best there is, so don't be scared. It's dead simple. My colleague Dave here will walk you through the steps. You've been a lovely group. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Bree. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, our software targets and corrects inadequacies.
I thought it was you when you came in, and I wondered, had you come all this way down here to learn the computer?
Oh, no, Bugs. It's impressive.
Yeah, it's all new.
I need to talk to you in private.
I don't have much time.
She sweeps past Helen out of the hall.
Has something happened?
Well, Declan's in the hospital in Dublin. He wants to see you.
He's had an accident. Has he hurt himself?
No, it's not that. It's
on a stair landing.
He's sick. And he'd like to see you. He's been there for a while. He didn't want to trouble us.
Trouble us? What is it you're talking about?
Maybe it would be better if you talked to the doctors about it.
What day is today?
Wednesday.
Yeah, I'll make 2 phone calls. I'll be with you right away.
Right. I'll wait outside.
Helen and Lily are driving along a country road.
I hate this road. I hate every inch of it. I never thought I'd be travelling it again on my way to a hospital.
Helen licks her lips, then throws her mother a sideways glance. Lily stares fixedly out of the passenger window.
I stayed with Granny last night.
Why didn't you come to me first?
Helen doesn't look at her.
Oh, that's right. Don't answer me now.
Harry and the boys are in Donegal.
I don't know how he puts up with you.
Lily folds her arms and stares out at the scenery. Helen attempts to speak.
Look, I'd better tell you what's wrong. Declan has AIDS. You know, he's had it for a long time.
AIDS? How long have you known?
Since yesterday.
Why did he keep it from us? Why didn't he tell me himself?
He was afraid how you'd react.
So he sends you.
You know, I think he thought at a time like this we'd all forget our differences.
Well, I don't notice any difference in you.
I will bear with me. I am making an effort.
They're at the hospital with Louise.
I'm afraid I'll have to be blunt, Mrs. Breen. He could hang on for a while, but he could also go very quickly. His immune system has been destroyed.
Could anything be done for him in America?
Our treatments are just as good here.
I'd like to speak to the doctor alone for a moment, please.
Helen stares at Lily, then turns and walks away awkwardly. Lily steps up close to Louise in the corridor.
Is he homosexual? Is that why he got AIDS?
AIDS is not just a gay disease, Mrs. Breen. But yes, he is.
Louise strides away. In her well-cut aubergine-coloured suit and groomed hair, Lily looks grim. Helen trails after her as they head for Declan's ward. Paul sitting on the edge of Declan's bed, dealing cards. With shaking hands, Declan drinks from a polystyrene cup. Helen peers through the glass of the doors, then steps in with Lily.
Declan? Brought you a visitor.
The ghost of a smile flickers across Declan's face. Lily takes a few steps towards the bed and stops. Paul turns to her. She glares at him with a challenging look. Paul glances at Declan, who throws him a shamefaced smile. Paul gets up and leaves the ward.
I knew you weren't looking well the last time I saw you. But you're looking much better now.
I didn't think you'd be up so soon.
Are they treating you properly at all?
That's fine. Yeah, I'm fine.
Well, we're only here to make everything nice for you, isn't that right, Helen?
Oh, yeah.
Have you any pain?
I don't feel great today. I had local anaesthetic in my chest this morning. It always leaves you feeling a little drowsy.
Clutching her large black handbag, Lily nods, then leans over and puts a hand on his forehead.
Well, you don't have a temperature anyway. You know, if you wanted to come down to my house, everything would be set up for you. And we could have a nurse call round if there were any problems.
I've been thinking about that, Mum. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to go to Blackwater. To Granny's.
Granny's? What would you want to go there for? The beds are uncomfortable, the sheets are ancient.
What does it matter? It's where he wants to be.
Would you mind us barging in on top of her, do you think?
Well, if she turned on the mobile phone I gave her, we could find out.
Declan's in the back of the car, his head against a cushion. Lily is in the passenger seat next to Helen.
Declan, Helen told me you were worried about how I'd react. You needn't have worried at all. You and Helen are the two people I care most about. Nothing's ever going to change that.
Helen gives her a sideways glance.
I should have told you before, though, Mum.
With a shrug of the shoulders, Lily mumbles, "Ah, well," and turns to him with a smile. They arrive at Granny's house and Helen turns into the paved forecourt and parks the car. Lily walks up to the house. Helen and Declan stay in the car.
Are you sure you wouldn't be better off at Ma's house?
It gives me the creeps.
What, in this place, doesn't?
I don't know why, but I need these creeps.
Their granny, Dora, comes out and smiles into the car.
Is that Declan you've got in the vat there?
That's the most exciting thing I ever taught anybody, and I can still remember doing it. But you've got to know about that and have the leisure to get into it. My position is that we're going to have...
Maybe we shouldn't have barged in on you like this, ma'am.
No, Lily. I was worried about you all day. Would you have sandwiches? Or will you all be having a large meal when you go home?
With a pointed look at Lily, Dora turns away. Helen and Declan share a glance.
Granny, they let me out for a few days. And I'd like to stay here. Now, maybe that's too much trouble for you.
Oh, no, you can stay here any time you like, Declan. And Helen can have a room next to you, and you can sleep in your old room. And you can have a room too, Lily.
Lily glares at her mother.
Helen, you drive me to my own house. I can get my car. We'll get you fresh bedclothes and a mattress as well. We'll make you very comfortable here, Declan. Don't worry.
All right, Mum.
Helen parks on the gravel drive in front of an imposing white house and follows Lily to the door.
I don't think Granny wants us in her house at all.
Oh, that's just pretense and nonsense. She likes company, you know. How long have you known about Declan?
Since yesterday, I told you.
No. No, I mean, how long have you known he's had friends like...
Like what?
You know, like what?
I've always known.
Don't be so stupid, Helen.
Lily ascends a curved staircase.
About 10 years.
And you never told me.
I never told you anything.
I hope nothing like this ever happens to you.
You sound as though you hope it does.
Yeah, if I meant that, I'd say so.
Yeah, you would, all right.
There are paintings in the large hallway.
I'll get over your place.
Helen enters an elegantly furnished double-height room with a gallery. A chandelier hangs from the ceiling and there's a grand piano in a corner.
I remember that.
A childhood photo of Helen and Declan on the beach.
I remember this picture.
What?
Bit different to our old house, isn't it?
I had a decorator. You're going to stand there gawking?
I can't get over it.
Oh, will you help me with this mattress?
It would be nice to bring a lamp to put beside the bed for Declan.
Oh, Granny's house is depressing. Will he need anything else, do you think?
I don't know.
Oh, he seemed very sick as we were leaving. I can hardly bear to look at him.
Right, I'll see you there.
It's night, and Helen ties a mattress to the roof of Lily's car. A wet morning in Dora's kitchen.
Hello.
Oh, dear. We've got visitors.
Helen joins Declan at the table.
Shouldn't you try and eat something, Declan?
I can't, Granny. I don't like it.
You must be Declan's granny. Oh, I'm Larry.
No, I didn't think you'd come down today.
Who is it?
Oh. Will you look at you? You look as if you haven't left that chair since you arrived. I bet the women have you spoilt rotten.
Oh, it's
hard to find this place. I went all over the country. No one knew any Breens. And then I realized your granny mightn't be called Breen.
No, no, her name is Devereaux, and you've just given her your coat.
Will you look at the cat? What's it called?
Cornelius.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Larry, she's serious.
This must be your sister. Hello.
Hello.
He only talks non-stop when he's nervous, you know.
What? Who's nervous?
Shut up, Larry, will you?
Would you like a cup of tea?
No, no, I'm all right, thanks. This is a great place, this.
Well, did you bring your measuring tape? I'm sure Granny would like some renovations done.
Larry's an architect, Granny.
I did, as a matter of fact. Do you know, I had real trouble finding this place.
Larry, if you don't shut up, I'm going to drown that cat.
Declan.
What? I have to say something drastic to shut him up.
Okay, okay, I'll shut up. But it was a long drive down.
Larry, stop.
Tall, slender, 30-ish Larry is in front of Declan. They climb down stone steps cut into a grassy bank down to the beach. Helen's behind Declan. Larry pauses and Declan steps up behind and puts a hand on his shoulder. Larry turns.
Do you want to help you?
I'll sit here for a while on my own. You go for a walk.
No, we can't do that. We can't leave you here.
Helen, I'll be fine. I just want to look at the sea. I'll make my own way back to the house. Go on, walk.
You sure?
I'll be fine. I'm not dead yet.
Helen and Declan share a smile and Larry affectionately pats Declan's knee.
Do you mean it?
Go on.
Helen and Larry continue down the steps. Seated on a step, Declan leans his arms on his knees and clasps his hands together. He smiles as he looks out to sea under a lilac sky. The lighthouse casts a revolving beam of light over the scene. Lily's Mercedes pulls into the forecourt of Granny's house. Helen and Larry are seated on a bench outside watching her. They both stand as Lily steps out of the car.
Ma? Ma, this is Larry, a friend of Declan's.
She ignores him.
Hello.
Where's Declan?
He's below on the beach.
Who is?
He's on his own.
Helen, that's irresponsible.
What are you doing?
I'm going to get him.
He said that he wanted to be alone.
Lily dumps her bags and sets off. Declan is sitting on a rock on the beach. Lily walks cautiously down the last few steps and crosses the sand towards him. She's an attractive, heavyset woman in her 50s, with brown hair swept up in a pleat. She takes off her long cardigan as she closes in on Declan. Helen's digging in the vegetable patch. Dora comes over to her.
Is this man Larry going to be staying here as well?
I don't know.
But are we going to be putting them in the same room as Declan?
Do you mean other partners?
You know very well what I mean.
Oh, no, they're not. Declan doesn't have a partner.
You mean he has nobody?
He has us, and he has his friends. And that's not nobody.
Oh, but he's got nobody of his own. And that's why he came down here. I didn't understand that before. Ah, oh, this'll be plenty, come on.
She picks up a basket of vegetables.
It's weird being back, you know? Anyway, how are the boys?
Ah, the boys are grand. Don't worry about them, sir. Aren't they eating pizza?
Pizza?
Listen, love, take it easy. I know it's tough and all of that, but just cheer up a bit. You'll be grand. Oh, guess what?
What?
I love you.
I love you too. I'll call you tomorrow.
Ah, no. Here's another one of them.
How's our boy?
He's grand.
You deal with them.
Dora steps away from the window.
Granny, this is Paul.
Talk about a hard place to find.
Oh, heavens above, they'll all be on top of us now.
What do you mean, Granny?
The neighbours, wanting to find out what's going on.
How's Declan?
He's lying down.
He hasn't eaten since he came.
I brought him some clean clothes and some Xanax.
What's Xanax?
Cheers him up a bit.
We could all do with some of that.
Lily strides into the kitchen.
He wants a glass of milk. Don't leave him alone like that again. He wants to know, can his friends stay in the spare room?
Are there more of them coming?
Well, there'll be a line of cars coming from Dublin.
Maybe I should put up the sign saying that our guest house is open again, like the old days.
You have a lovely view here.
I can get fed up looking at the sea. If I could turn the house around, I would.
Have you ever in your life seen so many cars? 1, 2, 3, 4. She must have come from his.
All of you to Declan's room. It's nosy neighbours.
Larry and Paul go.
Dora! You! We just happened to be passing.
Passing?
And we saw all of the cars. And we wondered, were you all right? All the cars.
I'm right as rain, Essie, thanks.
It's the women Helen drove past.
You have plenty of visitors, Dora.
Ah, just down for the day. Helen and a few friends.
Your husband and the boys?
No, they're in Donegal.
Is yours the red car?
No. Mine is the white car.
Oh, not the red car?
No.
Whose is the red car?
They're friends of mine, and they're staying nearby.
Oh, Lily! Lily! We do see your advertisement in the paper every week.
Oh, a big shot now. Oh. A big shot now.
Will you be staying the night here?
I don't know much.
It's a long time since you stayed the night here, Lily.
I might have passed up and down when you weren't looking, Essie.
Oh, Matt would have seen you.
I haven't seen you, Helen, since you worked here all them years ago. What do you think of the improvements she's made?
The radiators, huh? Well, thanks for calling. Be sure to call again sometime.
Sure we will.
We drop in after Mass on Sunday.
We chat then.
Bye, girls.
Bye, Lily. Helen.
Bye. Oh, Granny. How do you put up with them?
I went to school with them. Their father used to beat them with nettles.
Well, if that's all he did to them, they got off easy.
I'll tell the others the coast is clear.
Helen, Larry and Paul are eating at the kitchen table.
When I saw you arriving, I said to myself, there's another.
What do you mean by that?
You know what I mean, Helen.
She means homosexuals.
Granny, you can't talk about people like that. Now, come on. It's a difficult time for us all.
It'll always be difficult for them.
I think she means homosexuals again.
I'm happy. I'm not happy being here now, but my life's happy.
I'm old and I can say what I like. Declan never told us that he was one of you. He never told us anything. But I knew something was wrong. I've known for a year now. Declan came here last summer. He must have been down on the beach. I bumped into him in the lane, didn't expect to see me. And he'd been crying. And I knew that he was in trouble. I thought of everything, but I never thought of AIDS.
You never told anyone Declan had been here?
Who was there to tell?
I knew. He told me when he got back.
Do your families know you're gay?
My mother would have been happier if I'd been in the IRA.
Are you two partners?
With him, you must be joking. Are you mad?
What, to be with you, to be with him?
Maybe with either of us.
Dora gets up.
Nothing shocks me anymore. When you've lived through the life that I have, there's very little that you don't know. Anyway, the television is full of it.
Talking here in the dark is like going to confessions.
Lily turns on the light.
What are you all doing here like this?
We didn't feel the night come down, Lily.
What are you saying, Ma, when I came in?
I was saying to the boys here, it's a very difficult time. And it's very nice to have their company. That's what I was telling them, Lily.
I'm going. I gave you a mobile phone. Why don't you turn it on?
With a contemptuous look, Lily leaves the kitchen and goes out of the front door.
Good night, Mrs. Breen.
Would you listen to her? Even when she was a baby, she had a mind of her own. You couldn't tell her when to get up in the morning. She'd be up before you. Ah, she was a great worker, though. She had great brains. She won a university scholarship, you know. The nuns loved her. Did you know she almost became a nun?
Really?
Do you want her to become a nun?
Lily, my beautiful daughter, a nun. I did not. My husband, Helen's grandfather, who was a good man, the Lord have mercy on him and is getting his reward in heaven, said that we must accept God's will. And I said, well, me not wanting her to be a nun could also be God's will.
Oh, good man, Granny.
Sometimes it's hard to accept God's will.
Declan injects medicine into his chest.
Would you like a good fry up or just some porridge?
I'll have a fry, thanks. A cereal.
Why can't you just sit down and talk, man?
Declan, she's cut me out of her life.
Helen, is that you?
Having tried to sneak past the open door in her dressing gown, Helen joins Declan and Lily in his room.
You must have gotten here early.
Yes, well, Declan's been sick again.
Are the lads up yet?
Yeah, they're being fed by Granny. She's in her element, you know. She thinks she's running the boarding house again.
Why don't you go down and have your breakfast before they eat it all?
Lily turns away, arms folded. Helen throws Declan an exasperated look and leaves the room.
No, Mrs. Devereaux, knocking down a wall costs nothing and widening a door costs nothing. You could do the whole thing for $1,000.
Yes, but where would I put the kitchen?
Leave the kitchen where it is.
Oh, you know, my legs are very bad. And I'd love to put my bedroom downstairs, but my bathroom is upstairs. There's no justice.
Put the bedroom and the bathroom where the two small guest rooms are, with a big wide door in between. I've checked those walls. It would take about half a day to knock them down. If you'd like a new house, you wouldn't know yourself.
Yeah, but where would my bed be? I don't want to be pushed up against the window.
Is it a double bed or a single bed?
Well, no, that's a very personal question.
It won't be long, but will you be all right?
I'll be fine if it's not too far away, yeah?
No, it's not far, but the car doesn't bother you.
No.
No.
All right. A sunny day. Hanging washing on the line, Helen stops and turns to see Declan getting in Lily's car. They drive away. Paul is painting a chair in the garden. He watches the car speed off. Helen carries on hanging out the washing, but Paul has noticed her anxiety.
Do you ever get along with her? Or your grandmother?
When I was young, and I had no choice.
How long has it been?
Well, when I was in college, I had to work during the summers, helping Granny run the boarding house. This one summer, I had the chance to go and work in America, but my mother instantly became hysterical. The screaming and the shouting and the letters that followed me to Dublin. Oh, it was all sick, so I gave in and I didn't go. When I finally graduated, I made sure to get work in Dublin. But eventually the two of them showed up. They marched me up to the Shelburne Hotel and my granny says, "Now you've got your degree now, you'll come home." I realised that the plan was that I would skivvy around for the both of them now. So I listened for a while. Then I got up, went to the ladies' room, and I walked out of the hotel. And in answer to your question, I haven't really seen them since.
You just walked out?
Mm-hmm. I didn't even tell him when I got married. Declan did.
They weren't at your wedding?
I couldn't stand the thought of their two faces looking at me.
How long have you been married, Helen?
10 years.
Hasn't it ever occurred to you that the reason they wanted you at home was because they love you?
It's rubbish, Paul.
Have you been talking about me?
Yes, I've been telling her your middle name is Frank Lloyd Wright.
Take that pompous know-all look off your face.
Larry and Paul play fight while Helen sits on a swing.
Seems like your mother has taken Declan away.
Keeping him away from his evil friends.
And his evil sister.
And her evil granny.
I don't get it, Helen. You and your mother and your granny. It's got to be something else.
While Larry pushes the swing hanging from a large tree, Helen remembers. She's about 12 with her hair in pigtails. She sits writing at a table at Granny's guest house and looks up as post drops through the letterbox. Dora hurries out to pick it up. She checks one letter and rushes back into the kitchen, partly closing the door behind her. Helly watches, puts down her pen and gets up, leaving Declan at the table. She creeps into the hall and stands outside the kitchen door. Dora sitting at the table with her husband.
We opened him up and found that he was riddled with cancer.
Oh, God bless us and save us.
Well, how does she expect me to tell the children all this? They'll be devastated.
Dora looks distressed and sits down. Out in the hall, Helly covers her mouth with her hand and moves away as she starts to cry. In tears, she walks slowly back to the dining room and sits at the table opposite Declan. Concentrating on his drawing, he doesn't look up to see her crying. The children are on the beach.
I want to go home. Declan, I don't think they're in Dublin at all. I think they're in England or America. Because why has she never come down to see us?
Because she's visiting here in the hospital.
But why hasn't she come, even once?
Because we're all right here.
But we're not all right. And what's going to happen when summer comes and Granny has all the summer visitors?
They'll comfort us by death.
Helen, they're in England.
They're not.
How do you know?
In her dressing gown, Helly's in the kitchen with Granny and Grandad. Granny gives her a hot drink.
Very bad news, Helen. Your father has died. He died very peacefully. Grandad and I have to go and look after your mother now. And you and Declan are going into town and stay with Mrs. Byrne for a few days until after the funeral is over. And your mother can get settled back in your own house again.
Better tell Declan.
Oh, I just let him sleep.
She pats Helly's hand. Daytime and the children are being driven through the town by a priest. They stop by a house where a smiling woman in her 40s comes out to them. She's wearing a pinafore. She leans down to the window of the back seat.
Now, Declan, the boys will soon be home from school. You can play upstairs, maybe.
Aren't Mum and Dad back from Dublin yet?
The priest and Mrs. Byrne share a look. Helly turns away.
Helen, will you take in your bags?
Granny says I'm to go home and have the place tidy for Mum when she comes.
But I'm sure some of the neighbours will do that.
Granny says I'm to go and Father Griffin will drive me and Declan's to stay here with you. So if you could just take Declan's bag, we'll see you later then.
The priest turns around and gives Helly a puzzled look. She stares straight ahead of her, ignoring the pleading look from Declan. Mrs. Byrne opens the back door and Declan steps out. Helly seems to be holding back tears as Mrs. Byrne leads him to the house. He glances back at Helly, who looks miserable, and turns away. The priest drives through double gates and along a tree-lined gravel drive. Helly gets out of the back and goes to the boot.
Are you sure you'll be all right?
Perfectly sure, Father Griffin. We're very grateful to you.
She holds out a hand to the perplexed-looking priest. They shake hands. She shuts the boot and walks towards the house. He watches for a moment, then carefully lowers himself into the driver's seat. Helly opens a small window of the house and clambers in. She wanders through a dark study and out into the living room. She goes over to a large framed photo of her dad, screws up her eyes to hold back tears, then checks her watch against a mantel clock. She opens the glass, picks up a key and winds the clock. She removes the key and moves the clock's hands forward to 4:35, then closes the glass. In the hall, she takes her father's straw hat off a hall stand, puts it on at a jaunty angle and looks in the mirror. It's too big for her. Still wearing the hat, she enters a bedroom and opens a wardrobe. Men's suits and shirts are hanging inside it. She looks through the clothes, then takes down a dark suit. She pulls the trousers off the hanger. She lays the jacket and shirt still on the hanger, carefully on the bed, the hook of the hanger on the pillow. Then sets the trousers at the waist of the shirt, carefully smoothing out the dark tie before making a clumsy knot in it. She rests her hands on the edge of the bed, then goes and picks up a pair of black lace-up shoes. She places them at the end of the trousers, propped up against the foot of the bed. She takes off the hat and lays it on the pillow. Pressing her lips together, she studies the effect, then lies down next to the recreation of her dad. Gazing at the hat, she picks up the cuff on a sleeve and strokes it, then lays her head on the pillow. Adult Helen is stretched out on the bench of a gazebo, gazing into the distance. Larry comes up with a sketch pad.
Declan's probably told you I've designed a castle. And I may need your assistance building it.
He's drawn a sandcastle.
Get your swimsuit.
Come on, it'll be warm. I know it's warm.
Oh, it's freezing.
Larry topples backwards into the water.
It's still freezing.
Paul joins them. Larry pushes him into the sea. They both grab Helen and push her in. At Lily's imposing white house with its sweeping drive and manicured lawn, Lily and Declan are strolling through the expansive back garden. She pauses and with one hand makes a sweeping gesture across the lawn. She turns back. Declan's leaning over, being sick. He wipes his mouth with his sleeve and sits down. She rushes up to him, puts a hand on his forehead, and with the other, rubs his back. Sitting on the beach, Helen puts a sweater over her sand-covered swimsuit. Paul's next to her, lying on a towel.
She has him trapped in her house.
Might be exactly what he wants. He talked about it a lot.
Imagine being trapped in a room with your mother. I'd sooner be taken prisoner by Genghis Khan.
Shut up, Larry. You told us your mother was nice.
Stop telling Larry to shut up.
Suppose if I was sick, it would be different.
You want to take a walk?
Yeah, I'll go.
I'll give it a miss. See you later.
Yeah.
Helen and Paul set off across the sand.
Do you live alone, Paul?
No, I live with my partner in Brussels.
Look, I'm sorry, I should mind.
No, it's okay.
How long have
you... A long time. His name's Adrian. He's French. He hates me being away like this, but he loves Declan and he understands. He and Declan have always gotten along. Adrian's always joking about adopting him.
Does my mother know about that?
Paul's eyebrows shoot up. She smiles.
I think Declan's too old.
At Granny's, Paul helps Declan out of Lily's car. Helen comes out of the house.
That's it. Nice and easy. Watch your step. Doing okay?
Hi. You all right?
Just a bit tired.
I'll take you on up to bed.
Helen, help me with this.
You got him.
Paul and Declan head inside while Helen joins Lily by the car.
Down.
Yeah.
Lily struggles with a large shoulder bag and a box file. She waits while Helen gets files from the back seat.
Oh, it was a sad day, Helen. Now I took him to my house, my gardens. He was so good. I showed him my new offices. I had to leave instructions for the week. You must talk to Granny, Helen. Tell her to get in a proper telephone so we can keep in touch with her.
She won't listen. My husband says there's no getting around the women in our family.
He doesn't know us.
I've told him about you.
Helen sweeps past Lily. Lily sighs. Larry and Paul are kicking a ball about on the beach. Declan and Helen are sitting together on a rock. Set apart from the group, Lily looks out to the sea towards the lighthouse.
It won't be long, okay?
Right.
Helen looks doubtful as Declan stands. Paul and Larry support him, over his shoulder to Lily.
We're going for a walk, ma.
She watches them for a moment, then turns to Helen, who's still perched on the rock.
Helen! You remember the two lighthouses that used to be there?
Reluctantly, Helen climbs off the rock and walks over to her mother. Wearing an elegant grey coat with its collar turned up, Lily points out to sea.
There used to be two lighthouses there. I suppose the Irish Sea was busy. Bits of it were dangerous. Guidance was needed. Do you remember that?
Yeah, there was one out on the water there that's disappeared.
The Blackwater Lightship. A lighthouse on a ship. It was taken out of commission. I don't remember when.
I suppose the technology on the boats got better and...
Maybe there's not as much shipping as there was. Still, I love that there were two. I thought it would always be there.
Helen shuffles awkwardly and looks down at her feet.
You know, Helen, I thought your father would always be here, too. If you could just see him for a minute now. If he were just to be allowed to pass us on the strand there. And acknowledge, with the flicker of his eyes, that he knew what was happening to us.
Her dark hair blowing in the wind, Helen suddenly looks as if she's miles away. A memory. In his swim trunks, little Declan puts a shell on top of a sandcastle. Helly is with him in her blue swimsuit. She arranges shells neatly on top of a frisbee. Behind them, Lily walks by in a bathrobe and goes to the water's edge. Helly watches her. They both observe her standing by the gently lapping waves.
She never got in when Dad was alive.
With her back to them, Lily takes a deep sigh, crosses herself and slips off her bathrobe. She walks into the sea. Declan smiles, gets up and sets off at a run. Standing up to her shoulders in water, Lily lifts Declan high into the air. Helly stands on the shore. She looks distraught as she watches Lily and Declan playing in the water. In her dressing gown, Helen waits outside the bathroom. Declan emerges.
Do you want me to sleep in your room tonight?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I don't like bothering people in the middle of the night. It's just sometimes I wake and it's not easy, you know?
Boys wake me up all the time. It's no bother.
She walks him to his bedroom.
Is Ma smothering you with attention?
She's finding it tough. She's just jealous that I didn't want to stay at her house. She said there was plenty of room for me and for me friends. She didn't mention you, though.
She is being awful to your friends. I'll get them.
Yeah. I suppose she is.
He gets into bed. She holds out bottles of pills.
She came over all sad and wistful on the beach. She's going all soft on me. Do you remember the day that she went for the swim after Dad died?
What?
She never swam. And suddenly one day she gets into the water. What's all that about?
She had to try and move on somehow, Helen. That's all. We all have to move on. It'll never be right until you both come to terms with it all.
You call me if you need me.
You know me? Why would I need you?
So brave.
Sitting on the edge of the bed, Helen turns off the bedside lamp. As she turns her back to leave the room, Declan seems to be in obvious discomfort. Helen's by the kitchen range with a hot drink. Lily enters.
Is he all right?
He's almost asleep.
I'll go see.
It would be a mistake to disturb him.
Lily turns to give her a contemptuous look and strides out. Helen shakes her head. Morning, and Dora steps into the garden holding Cornelius and a plate of food.
Where are you going?
Oh, to get the paper.
Paul already got it.
Well, I had to phone Harry.
He phoned him last night.
So?
I'll come with you.
No, I'm going on my own.
Larry glances at Dora as Helen gets in the car.
Bastard boots.
Helen's in a phone booth.
Oh, it was mad of me not going with you. I think I can ever leave them like this again.
Come on, Helen, sir. It's only for a few days.
Well, how can you tell whether they're all right or not?
Well, of course I can tell. I'm here with them. They're on their holidays. They're having a great time.
Are they?
I know they'll see you soon.
Right.
A woman glares.
No, when my dad was sick, they all thought it was all right to leave us down here too.
Yes, well, there's one big difference.
What?
I'm their father and I'm with them. And you're talking about them as though I don't exist. I'm looking out for them all the time. I promise you.
Right. I love you, Harry. Look, I have to go. I'll call you tomorrow.
She drives back to the house and Lily comes out. Lily opens the car door.
Declan's gone blind in one eye. Helen, you tell him we must call the doctor.
At the kitchen table, Declan reads a pill bottle with a hand over one eye.
What happened?
I felt over the past while I was losing the sight in it. Now it's gone. It was always going to go, but I can see fine with the other one now.
Declan, we should have a doctor take
There's
a look at it.
There's nothing a doctor can do, Helen. Look, ask Paul. He's the expert.
He's not a doctor. I mean, look at him. He's so calm. I mean, I'd be tearing my hair out.
I've already done that, Granny. And I'm not calm. I only look calm. Anyway, it's not the end of the world. I can see fine with the one eye. Does it look a bit funny, though, this one?
No, it looks normal.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm gonna go sleep on it. If my nose drops off or my ears go missing, I'll let you know.
Have you taken all your pills?
Huh? You sound exactly like my mother.
Paul helps him out.
Your eyes are your most precious possession. I mean, Declan has the most beautiful eyes. And his father, God rest him, had beautiful eyes too.
Declan's going to be buried with him now.
Larry turns.
He wants to be cremated.
Oh,
what put that idea in his head? He's going to be buried here like the rest of us.
Dora butters a slice of bread. Helen looks exasperated. She stands and takes off her sweater.
When you have children, you fear for them so much. I always felt with Declan, he wasn't able for things, you know. He'd wake easily and he was afraid of school and get sick easily. I always felt he needed someone to watch out for him. And Helen was always leading the other kids around. You never had to worry about her.
So I noticed.
I would have loved a daughter who cared. When you came into my house the other day, you never said anything about my furniture. You never asked to look at my wardrobe, my kitchen, nothing.
Well, it's a new daughter you need, then. With all your money, why don't you buy one?
Ah, oh, no, Helen, that's too hard.
Would love the kind of daughter who'd come and take an interest.
Your house is very nice. It's certainly different to our old one.
Didn't you love my garden? He was full of ideas how to improve it.
It's a pity I'm not him, then, isn't it?
Ah, the poor man. We'll say it. A decade of the rosary fallen.
Include me out if you don't mind, Granny.
See the rosary with you later. Ah, I pray on my own. I don't know what's got into you two.
I wish that you had been satisfied with me at some point, even though I'm not what you wanted. I wish you'd stop wishing I was someone else.
I've always accepted you.
Accepted?
That is a wonderful word for it. Thanks.
Stop it, the two of you, and make up. Take these sandwiches to whoever wants them.
Helen grabs the plate from Dora and storms upstairs. Lily rushes after her.
I just wish you'd take an interest in me and my life.
Oh, will you listen to yourself? This is not about you.
You never even asked me to your wedding. We never saw you smiling happy on that happy day, did we, Granny?
You had all of my life to see me happy. I wasn't going to have you make a big play of me in public.
I don't know what you're talking about. You know, after your dad died, I could never get you close to me. I come home. I notice it first at the funeral. How you wouldn't meet my eyes.
How could you have left us down here for so long without once visiting us when Dad was sick?
Is that what's been eating away at you all these years?
Yes! Yes, it has been eating away at me all these years, as you put it. And it is not true to say that you couldn't get close to me. You were never on my side.
I did what I could for you.
Right.
You never gave me an inch.
That's not true.
Be any different in your own home, Helen.
Oh, I have learned the best lesson in the world. Not to be like you.
It's all in the past, for heaven's sake.
Helen joins Larry and Declan in Declan's room.
How are you feeling?
Oh, just trying to sleep with all that racket.
I'm sorry. Here. I have been fighting with Ma.
One thing I notice about the women in this family, they all talk like they run things.
You should see them are men. Real men now. Not wimps like us. With real men around, they just shut up and make the tea.
Your mother has never shut up in her life. Granny the same.
Both women without men, aren't they?
Your granny says both mother and daughter are two of a kind.
Rubbish. I'm not like her, am I?
Really?
Larry leaves the room with a plate of sandwiches. Propped up in bed, Declan watches Helen, who slumps against the wardrobe.
Helen, there's no winners in this situation. You have to make it up with her.
You know the day that Dad died? You should have seen her going around... Tragic queen.
Will you let it go?
I can't let it go.
You've hardened your heart too much, Helen.
Oh, well, I had to, hadn't I?
Oh, come on now. She suffered too.
She was never there for us. Now you expect me to sit around this place being her friend.
Look, when Granny first told you Dad was dead, you never told me, did you?
Helen stops folding clothes. She looks guilty as she turns to Declan, then looks down at the floor.
Didn't want to hurt your feelings.
Well, then. Can't you see Ma didn't want to hurt you? It's warm in here.
He peels off a blanket.
You've got a temperature. Oh, you have, haven't you?
I know. Hot stuff, aren't I?
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
Day, Helen and Larry trail upstairs after Paul.
He's had a bit of an accident. He's vomited and soiled his bed.
Helen rushes past them. In Declan's room, Lily pulls back Declan's bed covers.
It's all right. It's nothing.
Mrs. Devereaux, could you get some fresh sheets?
Oh.
Helen, could you please make sure that there's some hot water in the shower? Larry, soap in a basin. And if everyone could step out.
Lily carries on mopping Declan's brow.
Please, we really need some privacy, really.
Could I talk to you outside?
Paul steps out into the corridor with Lily behind him. They face up to each other.
Can we have this out later?
Just who do you think you are?
Later, I have a job to do.
He returns to the room alone. Helen, Lily and Granny are in the kitchen.
The sheets are soaking. Paul is going to wash them. Isn't he very good?
Oh, he knows it all, that one.
He's been through a lot more with Declan than we have.
There's no substitute for your own family.
Declan's friends are his family.
Oh, really?
What do you mean?
Who led him astray?
I don't think he needed much leading.
When he left my house, he was a young man anyone would be proud of.
He was also gay.
He's very dehydrated.
I don't know what you think your place is here, but as far as we're concerned, you have no business here at all.
I didn't notice Declan saying he wanted you to stay in the room.
It's high time you and your friend took yourselves out of here.
Like now? Immediately?
As soon as you can.
Just because you say so.
I do live here.
No, you don't.
It's my mother's house.
Declan asked us here, okay? We've been through difficult times with him. What I couldn't help noticing, his family was missing.
Oh, no. We weren't missing. No one told us.
I wonder why. Think about that, Mrs. Breen, instead of getting in the way and making pointless arguments.
I wasn't in the way.
Looked like you were to me.
I'm his mother!
He needs a drink. We don't have time for this sort of hysteria.
Oh, what sort of hysteria do you have time for? Are you going to leave?
Hey! I am here as long as Declan is here, and you can take that as written in stone. I'm here because he asked me to be here, and when he asked me to be here, he used words about you which were not edifying, and which I won't repeat. But he is concerned about you, and he loves you, and wants your approval. He is also very sick. So stop feeling sorry for yourself.
What do you mean, not edifying?
He's nearly 30 years old, and he's still afraid to tell you who he is.
Paul storms out with a jug of water. Sitting at her laptop, Lily looks crushed. She throws an embarrassed glance at Helen, who looks away. Lily gets up and storms out.
That was a bit rough.
Well, she can put people out of her grand house in Wexford, but she can't put them out of here.
Granny returns to her knitting while Helen does some ironing. Later, Larry unplugs the iron and sits next to Granny.
Do you have such a thing as a screwdriver?
Oh.
Dora checks her pocket.
What does this do?
Granny, that is a flick knife.
Don't tell me. You used to be a Hell's Angel.
Old people living alone need protection.
So what would you do if someone broke in?
Stab them. Disfigure them. That's why I have to learn to drive, so I'm not so isolated out here. Isn't that right, Larry?
Absolutely.
And he's going to teach me.
He winks at her. Paul sitting by the range. They all look awkward as Lily comes in.
Declan says you're his best friend and I'm not to be rude to you, so I'm doing what he ordered.
Paul looks impassive as Lily sits down at her laptop.
It's okay. I understand. I'm sorry, too.
He smiles ruefully. Her face softens. Helen's with Declan, who's being sick.
Paul has phoned your doctor. Louise, is it? No, she has called a local doctor. And he can give you slow-release morphine.
Right.
We're just waiting for him to ring on Paul's mobile phone.
Yeah.
Do you want me to take it?
Mm-hmm.
You all right?
Mm.
She puts the bowl in the bedroom sink. It's evening and a car pulls up in front of the house. Dora's outside on a bench stroking Cornelius. Helen comes out of the house and goes to the car. Dora rushes around a corner of the house, out of view.
Dr. Kerwin.
That's me.
Come on in.
Dora peers around the wall. The doctor follows Helen inside. Larry and Paul are coming downstairs.
Upstairs. Ah, doctor. I'm Declan's mother. It's right this way.
Hello.
Evening.
He passes by Larry and Paul on the stairs.
If I went around with a haircut like that, people would laugh at me.
People laugh at you anyway.
I don't want him to see me. He won't know that it's my family. I knew his father, old Breezy Kerwin. He was very nice. His mother was very nice too.
I wonder, did she cut his hair?
Oh, leave his hair alone. I'm sure he's saving up to get married. Given good example, unlike some people I could mention.
This will control your bowels for a while. Drink lots of liquids.
It was good of you to come out so late.
That prescription is for morphine. There's a druggist in Wexford. I'll phone him to expect you when I get back.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kerwin. I'll just get my bag.
Thanks,
Dad. The doctor gives Declan an injection. In the kitchen, Dora's wrapping ice cubes in a towel. She crushes them with a rolling pin. She takes the crushed ice to Lily, who's sitting on Declan's bed. Helen's there.
Larry and Paul not back with the medicine yet?
No.
Dora peers out of the window. Lily.
Declan. 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 There's something I need you to hear. Helen tells me I abandoned the pair of you when Dad was sick. I wrote letters nearly every day, and Granny assured me that if I was to visit, it would just unsettle you. Your dad wanted me to come, but Granny said no. Declan, he was as sick then as you are now. I couldn't leave him any more than I could leave you.
Why did you not let me go? You did not let me go to Dad's funeral.
It was everyone's advice at the time. They said you were too young to see a coffin and an open grave. And if I'd seen you there, I would have broken into little bits. We just couldn't do it any other way.
Is this true, Granny? Why did you never read those letters to us?
Oh, what do you want of me? You were a child. Declan was even smaller. It wouldn't have done you any good.
We needed to know that they hadn't forgotten about us.
Nonsense. Nobody forgot about you. We did the best we knew how. I'm sorry if it wasn't good enough.
Believe us. You please believe us. We just weren't able to manage.
Oh, it's a veil of tears, Lily. It's a veil of tears.
Dora puts an arm round Lily and the two women lean in close, forehead to forehead. Morning. Helen gets out of bed at the sounds outside and looks out of the window. She smiles.
Yep, you're doing great.
Yes.
With Larry next to her, Dora drives the Land Rover down a country lane. In her night clothes, Helen joins Declan, Lily and Paul.
That was a joke, her learning to drive.
Oh, no.
She'll crash it and then blame us.
Just ease off the clutch, that's it. Fantastic.
Right, you are.
Yep, you're the natural.
Oops. Well done, Mrs. Devereaux.
Oh, I'm going to the house. I'm going to learn if you're all day for that.
They laugh and clap as she drives past the house. In the kitchen...
Superb, Granny.
I bet you could do with a cup of tea with a pint of whiskey in it.
No, it's the first gear that's got me flummoxed.
Don't worry, you'll get it.
I'm going to 11 o'clock Mass. Is anyone going with me?
Me for one. You know, I think we should take you back to the hospital today.
It's such a nice day, though. I don't really want to go back. Anyway, it's Sunday.
Do they do tests on a Sunday?
No, but they could first thing in the morning.
Can we go to the beach when you get back?
In thick sweaters, Helen and Declan walk along the beach, arms linked.
We all make mistakes, Helen. You know, we don't always react the way we should.
I know.
But we do our best, huh? And that's all anyone can ask. You know, the two of you have come a long way already. But I'm not going to be around forever to prod you along, you know. So, you've got to do the rest. Getting cold.
Cold?
Yeah.
Paul, he's cold.
Guys, I'm going to go back to the house.
Okay,
yeah.
Pepper, come on.
Okay.
Okay. Larry and Paul put their arms around him and head off. Lily sitting on a blanket, her coat wrapped around her. She and Helen watch the men supporting Declan between them.
You okay?
Yeah. I just wanted to leave those two together.
They walk on a few steps.
Sorry, guys, just a sec.
They stop and Declan turns and looks over his shoulder. His eyes seem to drink in the lighthouse on the end of the rock.
Goodbye, lighthouse.
They walk on towards the stone steps cut into the grassy bank.
Okay.
Yeah. He stumbles on a step. Larry and Paul carry him up, watched by Helen and Lily.
He's not going to last much longer, is he?
Sitting on the picnic blanket, Helen turns to face Lily.
Was Dad thin before he died?
Not like Declan is. No. Not noticeably so.
But he was like Declan, in that he was sitting up in bed laughing. He was the light of my life. He loved you and Declan so much. I made a promise that I'd try to be as good as the two of us would have been. I made a promise to do my best, but I don't suppose, looking back at it now, that I did very well.
There is something that I never realized before.
What?
I always believed that you took Dad away and you never brought him back.
What?
I know that it's irrational, but that's what it is. That's what I thought. You know, I thought that you had him locked away somewhere and you knew where he was, but you never told us.
No, Helen, I locked no one away. He died in my arms. I watched him go. I know I came back to you without him. There was nothing I could do.
I know.
Helen smiles softly at her mother and they start to pack the picnic things away.
You'll have to get a learner's license.
Oh, sure, that's no problem, Helen. Didn't I tell you what Kitty Walsh did last year? And she's so blind, she can't see her hand in front of her face. Didn't she go to the eye man the day before the appointment? She just said that she wanted to look at the spectacle frames, you know. Mm-hmm. And didn't she look closely at the letters through the open door? The letters that you have to read. And she wrote them down. And then she went home and she memorised them. And the next day, when the eye man was complimenting her on her eyesight, when she can hardly see the colour of the money that she was paying him with, and she's driving all over the country. Get in the ditch if you see her coming.
I have all the measurements now.
Oh.
And I know what you want. I'll draw up the plans and we'll get a good local builder.
Oh, you have to go now.
Pray so.
Ah, well, I'm very grateful. I don't know what I'd do without you.
So I'll send the plans down to you during the week for your approval and I'll come back down again when we get the builder.
Oh, that's very kind.
Sure you don't want to go back with Larry?
Yes.
Larry and Paul share a look over Declan, who's sitting by the kitchen range.
Do you want to go to bed?
No, I don't want to go to bed, Paul. I don't want to go to bed. Just leave me alone.
Paul looks away, gets up from the armchair and heads out, stroking Declan's back as he passes. Lily's at the table.
Declan, love, you've eaten nothing.
Oh, leave me alone, Ma.
Leave him alone. He's my pet.
Okay, friends. I'm away.
Larry stands behind Declan and puts both hands on his shoulders. Declan strokes his hand and rests his head on it. After a moment, Larry picks up his sketchbook and leaves. Declan stares ahead. Larry goes out into the night.
Push. Come on out now. Come on, there's a good boy.
See you soon, Miss Devil.
Goodbye now.
Helen's there.
Come on. Just wait until they're all gone.
Ronnie? Why have you never come to Dublin? Paid us a visit.
Are you inviting me at last?
Helen smiles and Granny holds out a hand for Helen to help her up.
Thanks.
They head back to the house, leaving Cornelius under the bench. Lily's in the kitchen with Declan. Paul steps in and beckons Helen away. On a bench in the hall.
His temperature is 102. So tomorrow morning, first thing, I think we should take him back to the hospital. So just leave him with me for a bit and I'll talk to him, okay?
All right.
Paul goes back to the kitchen.
It takes
Mrs. Bree.
Oh, fine.
Mrs. Bree. I'm sorry, Helen wants to speak with you.
Lily hands Paul a glass and goes. Paul stands behind Declan and holds his shoulders.
Declan, take a deep breath, okay? We're just going to take a moment and we're going to go upstairs.
Okay.
The three women look on from the doorway.
One, two, three.
Paul helps Declan to stand. Dora leads Helen and Lily out of the kitchen.
I've seen a prayer that his suffering will be eased.
Ellie.
Be sure to tell him we're praying for him.
I will, Granny.
Helen goes. Dora's hunched over with her eyes closed. She's clutching rosary beads. Lily picks up a stool and sits close to her mother. The two women cross themselves and pray. Helen's in bed. She flings back the covers and goes to Declan's room. Lily's sitting on his bed, cradling him in her arms. She rocks gently back and forth.
Oh, please.
No, I'm right here.
Please help me.
I'm right here.
Help me.
You'll be all right. I'm not going anywhere. You'll be all right. I'm right here. Be all right. Be all right. It'll pass. Sure, it'll pass. I'm right here with you.
Oh, Mom, please help me. Help me, please.
Helen joins Paul in the corridor.
He's wanted to say that for a long, long time. It'll be a big relief for him.
He's been this bad before.
Paul mumbles yes. Helen listens for a moment, holds Paul's hand, then goes. Paul leans against the wall, arms folded. It's daytime and Helen, wearing a thick sweater and long scarf, is out walking. She stands on a grassy bank looking across to the lighthouse. The sea is mauve grey beneath a mottled lilac sky. With her jeans rolled up to her knees, she stands still in shallow water, her feet firmly planted in the sand. The waves ripple around her ankles. She moves a foot around in the wet sand and notices something as the waves swirl back. She bends and picks up a snail shell. It's black with white rings. She handles it gently. Up at the house, Granny comes out carrying a cushion. She's smartly dressed in a flowery blouse and purple cardigan. She rushes over to Helen in the car.
Drive carefully now and stop if you feel sleepy.
We'll let you know what they say about Declan. So keep that mobile switched on, Ma.
Good. Thanks for everything, Granny.
Oh, mind yourself, Declan, no.
Yeah.
Mind yourself.
Okay.
Declan's in the back, stretched across Lily. She stands by the gate and waves as the car sweeps out. Slowly she walks back to the house, a hanky at her nose.
It's a terrible pain.
No. It'll be all right. Paul says they'll have a bed for you. And they'll know what to do. And we'll all stay close to you.
She gently strokes his hair as he rests against her with eyes closed.
Helen, do you remember the words? Can you help me, dear?
Helen looks thoughtful.
The October winds lament around the castle of Rome. It pieces in her lofty halls, my loving treasure store.
Helen stops singing.
How bud of spring are you? Sing how shabalu la lulu la. Sing how shabalu.
Declan's in bed in hospital, eyes closed. A nurse is with him, and Paul sits in the chair beside the bed.
Declan, love. Your Paul's staying with you. And Helen and I will be back in a couple of hours.
See you soon.
Yes, love.
Helen looks on as Lily kisses his hand. Lily walks away. Helen sits on the edge of the bed and smiles, but her eyes fill with tears.
Hey.
He tries to smile.
This is for you.
She gently puts the seashell between his finger and thumb.
Boy, bossy boots.
She leans down and kisses him.
See you later.
He mouths yeah, and she goes. He strokes the seashell. Helen and Lily arrive at Helen's house.
Come on in. No, it's all right, I'll get that. Go on through.
Helen picks up the post and Lily makes for the kitchen.
Oh, Helen, this is lovely. It's very bright. Declan told me about this house, so I knew what it was like, but it's nice to be here.
I'll go and make a bed up for you.
No, don't go. Stay here. You don't have to talk. Sometimes when I'm with Granny, I wish I didn't have to talk.
Yeah, she is a great talker, your mother.
She wears me out. I don't want to do that to you.
Helen fills the kettle.
I'd love to come up on Saturdays sometimes. I'd love to come out to your house and visit you. I mean, I wouldn't spend the night. At your house, you don't want your mother nosing around too much. But I could see Harry and the boys, and then I'd get up and go. That's what I dream about, you know.
She touches the children's paintings on the wall.
You and I could sit here talking about nothing and watching Harry and the boys coming in and out of the room. Then I'd stand up and go, and it would all be easy and casual. That's what I dream about now.
Lily has her back to Helen, who's at the fridge. Helen watches her.
That is a lovely thought. And I promise I'll have milk when you come next, because I haven't any now.
They stand around awkwardly, then Lily opens her handbag at the table.
Helen, I would like for you to have this.
She takes out a framed photo and props it up on the table. Helen watches from the breakfast counter, then slowly wanders over. Lily looks uncomfortable and turns her head away. Helen picks up the photo. It's the one of her and Declan perched on a rock in their swimsuits. They're both smiling. A faint smile spreads across Helen's face.
When's Harry coming back?
Soon. He's on his way. I telephoned him this morning.
With a sigh, Lily sits down, joining Helen at the table.
We need to sleep soon. Be in good form for Harry when he gets here. Then we'll go see Declan later.
Helen nods and puts a hand over her mouth.
But we'll sleep for a while first.
She sits in profile to Helen, looking out at the garden, still wearing her coat. Lily purses her lips together, unable to control her tears. Helen seems awkward as she realizes her mother is crying. She sits on the edge of her chair and gradually moves closer to her, finally kneeling on the floor next to her. Helen puts both arms around her and rests her head on her shoulder. The photo of Helen and Declan stands on the table. At the hospital, Declan clutches the seashell Helen gave him. ITFC audio description.